Valley Fellowship Church is a Spirit-empowered community of faith in Huntsville, Alabama. We pray that this recording helps you to connect with God and with other people. More resources are available at valleyfellowship.com.
I want you to know God is in control of your life. And things in this world may go wrong. We live in a world which has a lot of decay, a lot of sin. But here's my encouragement to you today. And I'm hoping that you're going to be making this declaration and begin to see it. The situation you're in right now is too small for you. Everybody say, this is too small for me. God hasn't called you to a little life, little influence, little significance, little freedom, little legacy. You aren't called to a miniature life. You've got to give yourself a chance to be your best and to experience what God has planned for you. You see, the enemy wouldn't be fighting you so hard today if he didn't know that God has something amazing in your future. God has something amazing in your future. You may look it around and it looks like, I can't get out of this. I've been stuck in this. It's been going on years and years. But God is here to tell you he is not done working. Let me tell you, now is not the time to be discouraged or have a chip on your shoulder or to feel sorry for yourself. I really think today is the day to reflect on God's greatness, to remember God's goodness. Sometimes we get impatient over God's timing. Anybody ever done that? I mean, we're just like Abraham. He's like, well, God, you promised me a son, but we're going to do it the way the world does it. You know, my wife has offered me this handmaiden, and boy, she's hot. And now we've got Ishmael. Won't you just bless Ishmael? And guess what? There's still trouble as a result of one man's human attempt to meet God's plan outside of God's time. The conflict we still see going on between Arabs and Israelis traces all the way back to one man impatient with God's timing. You ever been that way? Arrogantly deciding that you know more, no different, or no better than God, and you literally short-circuit God's plan and miss out. But here's the thing that's amazing with God. God is still in the redemptive business. Yes, sometimes we have to learn to be content where we are, but we don't have to settle where we are and say, that's where I'm going to be from now on, because God has more ahead. But sometimes we as imperfect beings accept dysfunctional thinking. We just adopt dysfunctional living, you know, dysfunctional relationships. We think it's just normal, and we try to learn to function in our dysfunction or create crutches to support our inadequacies. But let me make a declaration this morning. God's redemptive work actually addresses the curses connected to dysfunctional living. Salvation in Christ applies to every aspect of your being. Salvation in Christ applies to every aspect of my being. I do believe I'm made body, mind, and spirit, right? I am a spirit that's going to live forever and ever once I've been created here on earth. My spirit man is living in an earth suit. It's my body. A lot of you are looking on the outside of me and you think that's all there is, but there's a spirit man in me, and when my spirit leaves my body will be dead. I've got a soul that's made up of my mind, will, and emotions. And one of the things that's incredible is when we're born again, when we invite and we receive the forgiveness of God into our life, our spirit is regenerated. It's born again, to use the phrase Jesus used talking to Nicodemus. But we're not instantly transformed in our thoughts. We're not instantly transformed in our actions and our habits. God regenerates us. We're made new on the inside. And I'm so thankful that sometimes he just supernaturally sets people free. Robert Bufkin, I know he's still praising God. Whenever he was born again, God set you free. You were addicted to all kinds of stuff, you know, a variety of drugs and stuff that people would have thought, nope, this guy's going to struggle with it for years, and what happened? Boom, God did something supernatural. I'm thankful God does supernatural work. Sometimes it's quick, but sometimes there's a transformation work that takes a little bit of time. But God's redemptive work doesn't just apply to your spirit. You weren't just born again to go to heaven. As my dad used to say, if that was it, when we did altar calls, we would just keep a 357 up here. And right after you get done, we'd give the altar call. Now that you're saved, you're sure you're saved? Then we'd hand you a pistol. If all you were here for was just to go to heaven, you might as well go there. There's not a reason for you to live here on earth anymore. So we'd hand you the pistol and you're on your way. Now, if you're in a cult that's telling you that, take the gun and leave the building. There you go. Guess what? God does have a purpose while you're still on this earth. If you're alive today, God's not done with you. There is more ahead of you, and God's redemptive work is still going on inside of you. God's not content for you to remain in that prison cell of addiction, of bondage, of depression, of a hopeless relationship. God is working, even if you can't see it, beyond the scenes, behind the background. God is at work. And he is able to do more in your life. God's redemptive work actually addresses the dysfunction that's still going on. Well, Pastor, I'm born again. What do you mean there's still dysfunction? Yeah. Sometimes we have dysfunctional thoughts. We'll have things that go on. You know, Patty and I started almost 8 weeks ago a journey where we said we're going to lose some weight, all right? And it's a journey. Now, I tell you what, I've had several people say, well, don't you feel better because you've lost some? And I say, well, I didn't feel bad before, but my blood work wasn't looking where I wanted it to be. My A1C number kept going. I wasn't, you know, diabetic, but it kept trending higher. And so Dr. Tolan, the doctor who loves me so much, loves me enough to tell me, Greg, if you don't lose weight, right? If you don't begin to address a couple of these things, and she says, I know you're a person of faith. I know you love God, right? But if you don't begin to address this, you're not going to be able to fulfill all that God wants for you later on. I was like, okay, Dr. Tolan, that makes sense. You need to lose some weight. It's like, it's been okay so far. You know, your numbers have looked good, but you're in your 50s now. It's time to take some off. Well, I tell you what, Patty, it's not the easiest thing to do. But let me tell you, one of the phrases I've used a number of times in this last 7.5 weeks, whenever I'm tempted in any way by food or a food environment, is I will literally make this verbal declaration out loud. This is too small for me. This is too small for me. You see, what I'm trying to remind myself is that God's redemptive work applies and that God created me to be able to rise higher. I'm not created to peck the ground like a domesticated, engorged chicken waiting for slaughter. You aren't either. God created you with the ability to rise higher. Like an eagle, God will allow you to fly to incredible heights. Just because something unfair has happened to you doesn't mean that God doesn't have something amazing still in your future. You need to tell your neighbor that right there. Something amazing is coming your way. Hey, single person, did you hear that? Something amazing is coming your way. God hasn't forgotten you. There is still the right person out there. You don't need to settle. There is still something out there. Just because something unfair is going on doesn't mean God is finished. No, His redemptive work keeps applying. He's still wanting to work inside of you, just as He's working inside of me. And I've got to tell you, it's a work when you say God. He helps you. But it's a work that we can go in. I'm so thankful that God does show His love and concern for us. I love the account in Exodus 3 of God appearing in a burning bush. Moses, after years of thinking he was going to be the deliverer, abandoned hope whenever he killed an Egyptian and people were turning against him. He ran away. He's hidden, as one translation says, on the backside of the desert. And now after 40 years, this burning bush is going to be the moment where God says, guess what, Moses? You're 80, but I'm not finished with you. I want to be a burning bush in your life today to tell you that God is not finished with you. The message that He would even speak, I love how He spoke to Moses and said, I'm not done with you, and I'm not done with, guess what, a people that have been in more than 400 years of living in Egypt, but that time is about to come to an end. The Lord would say to Moses in verse 7, I indeed have seen the misery of my people. I want you to know God sees what's going on in your life. He knows the dysfunction. He's not saying, hey, this is good. He's saying, I see it. I've heard them crying out because of the slave drivers. Some of y'all have been crying out, and God says, guess what? I'm here to bring deliverance to you today. Listen to what He says. I am concerned about their suffering. Some of y'all just need to let that sink into your spirit today. You're looking at me, as my dad would say, like a calf looking at a new gate, and you're not knowing what to take with this. I'm here to tell you God's redemptive work applies into everything. And God is concerned about that that's concerning to you. How many of y'all think that having to make bricks and work as a slave was concerning to those Israelites? Decade after decade, hundreds of years after centuries now, they've been in Egypt, but the moment of deliverance was come. I've said this, but I think this is so significant. Kimmy, we're so glad you're here. You'll be 23 this year in December. Guess what? 21 and a half years ago, in the 1st of December, Patty was still suffering with a blood clot from her hip all the way down. That was 22 and a half years ago, right? From her hip all the way down to her knee, various other blood clots. She was in and out of the hospital. There was one even passed. She was gone away. They had to bring her back. You know, I remember being in the hall saying, God, I'm called to raise Rosie alone. You can't take Patty from me. And day after day, Patty, you were getting day after day, every 4 hours or so, heparin shots. and they couldn't do anything for this. They're looking at amputating her leg. And Dr. Roberts is like, you're going to have a blood clots the rest of your life. You're going to suffer with this. So December 1, that was the report. Patty's having to lay in the hospital bed, can hardly get up, only to go to use the restroom. December 2nd, it's the same report. December 3rd, December 4th, December 5th, it keeps on going. Even December 16th, that was still the report. But Kimmy, there was a day coming for you to be born. It's appointed unto man once to be born and to die. And for Kimmy, it was on December 7, 19. I was going to count up. Sooner or later, I was going to be there. Let's move ahead. 17, it was the same. 18, it was the same. But 19, it was shocking. All of a sudden, and this had nothing to do with the fact she gave birth. Giving birth doesn't do anything to a blood clot that is solidified that you've had for 3 months inside of a leg, to where 3 months ago they couldn't even find a pulse in Patty's foot because it was so clotted. They thought they were going to amputate it. But guess what? In a day, they take in December 20th. They decide to do a Doppler study. They go up and down that leg and decide they must have the wrong leg. So they do the other leg study. And Patty's like, no, that's the right leg. No. And they look at the other one. There were no blood clots anywhere. That was 22 years ago. Patty is still blood clot free. Praise the Lord. There may be 40 years on the backside of a desert. There may be generations, but then there's a burning bush moment. And listen, if you've got a heart of faith and you'll respond to what God is speaking, let me be a burning bush and let this service be a burning bush moment in your life. And what you say, I'm done with 40 years on the backside of the desert. I'm stepping into all that God has for me. God is concerned. Now listen to what God says in the next verse, verse 8. I have come down, God says, to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and into a good, a wide area, a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Wow, that's what God has for us. What is that speaking of? A good and spacious land, it's speaking of blessing. Yesterday I was on the phone and talking and praying with Brother Ivan Tate. I appreciate the Tates and the ministry we have with them. And as he was praying, there was something that just really hit me in my spirit, and I appreciated it so much. You know, sometimes you got to have a friend who's ready to pray with you, right, and stand with you. And he was praying, and he had just gotten off the plane, even in Minnesota, as he was praying. Here was the imagery that he was praying over us, over me, and over our church. He said, I see Joseph coat of many colors around and surrounding Valley Fellowship. God's favor is upon you. We were singing it this morning. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded in God's favor. I got to tell you, Joseph's coat of many colors symbolized favor. It didn't symbolize it was always going to be an easy road, but he wasn't destined for the pit, although for a time he was. His end destiny was not a prison, although for a time he was there. His end destiny was going to be right there, prime minister of Egypt. I mean, this predates them going into slavery. Guess what? Valley Fellowship, I declare over our church, Valley Fellowship's God-ordained, God-arranged moment, burning bush moment is here. The backside of the desert is over. Slavery is over. A good and spacious land we are walking into. Our best days are not our yesterdays. Valley's best days are still in front of us. Our greatest victories are in the future, not the past. We haven't touched the surface of what God has in store. God spoke to me this morning early, and He said, this is God's word to some of you. Psalm 3:3. I am the glory and the lifter of your head. Some of y'all have got, it feels like the weight of the enemy pushing your head down. It's time for you to hold your head up high, put your shoulders back. You were never created to live defeated, overcome by problems, struggling to forgive, fighting bitterness. You are an overcomer. I am an overcomer. We are overcomers. We're not victims. We are the victors in Jesus' name. We are victors in Jesus' name. In Psalm 18, David celebrated because he had been delivered from King Saul. A guy that was so jealous of him, he was seeking his life. And Saul wasn't the only one. He would send the best bounty hunters after King Saul, after King David, who would be king. King Saul would send the best bounty hunters. For just a moment there, I was imagining Boba Fett and Bosk and a few others. Just for a moment there, but I'm gone now. Yeah, past 50? Mom's like, I don't know what that means, past 50. I was a Star Wars reference, Mom. That's what that was, Boba Fett. So, yeah, we went to see a Solo movie. And wasn't that amazing? Kimmy and Patty and I were almost solo in that theater. We were a trio for, actually, it was a quartet. Somebody else came in. That movie's bombing, y'all. What can I? All right, I'm way off. You know, I'm sorry. He was my favorite character at one point, and they're tearing down my, you know, my hero. It's like, in fact, Kimmy was like, "You mean Han Solo was a good guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah." When I was in high school, people were like, "He's the big guy." She's like, "I thought Luke Skywalker." All right, y'all think I forgot where I am, but I haven't. David had bounty hunters. He had Saul after him. But listen to his psalm of praise, beginning in Psalm 18, verse 17. God rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. Now, I tell you what, that ought to just cause not a boom of destruction, but a boom of excitement in your heart. That ought to cause something to go inside of you to recognize, what's He say? God's bringing us into a special place because God delights in you today. A wide open space of freedom, of deliverance, and of new hope is headed your way. Because God delights in you. Freedom, deliverance, hope are headed your way. The enemy's tried to defeat you, tried to confront you in the moment of your disaster. But let me tell you, the depression, the sickness, the injustice cannot stop your deliverance. It cannot stop your victory because it cannot stop your support. Come on, just declare this a couple times today. The Lord is my support. Come on, declare that. The Lord is my support. The Lord is my support. I speak triumph over you today. I declare health and healing, vindication, restoration, joy, increase, the fullness of God's support in Jesus' name. Why? Because that situation you're in, it's just too small for you. This is too small for me. This is too small. Be quiet, because God delights in you. I love my daughter. I was so excited. Patty and I are going to be still paying for it for a little bit longer. But Kimmy's now driving a Pilot. You know, it's the one that Patty and I really loved. I really liked the Pilot. We've got Patty's dream car now. I understand, an MDX. But Kimmy's excited about that Pilot. But I got to tell you something. Even though I really like that Pilot, to see my daughter driving it, guess what it does to me as a dad? Anybody guess? I mean, I'm not a perfect dad, but I'm an okay dad at least. And what do you think it does when an okay dad sees his daughter enjoying something that he put into her hands? It does something for me as a dad. Come on, help me out. What do you think? What kind of emotions do you think I have about that? Joy, happiness, right? So, you know, right? Some pride, right? All kinds of things. Listen to this. Luke 12:38. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, you got to grasp hold of that. Some of y'all are sitting there thinking, no, it can't be over. It's been 40 years. It's all done. No, God heard what was going on. He's concerned with the situation that's going on. And He's here saying, guess what? I'm still working. And now is the day. Now is the day you're stepping into it. Now is the day you're stepping into it. And so what you've got to do in that situation, again, you've got to be content. You can't just quit and sabotage God's timing. There's a timing to it. But at the same time, you've got to let your faith be there, that there is something more than what you're experiencing right now, that whatever this is, this food temptation, it's too small for me. This lust, it's too small for me. If you'll give yourself a moment, it's amazing how many things you won't get into if you'll just pause and say, no, this is too small for me. I wonder how many of us would have been delivered from years of payments to a timeshare if we'd have just said, nope, this is too small for me. I wonder how many of us would have been delivered from a gym membership or, I don't know, some of you. Listen, here's what you need to know. Your eternal perspective should inspire your internal choices that motivate your external actions. That's what I'm trying to do with that phrase, this is too small for me. Now, I don't know. I'm going to do my best. I'm down over 40 pounds right now from where I started on this about 8 weeks ago. And I'm not done. I want to go a little bit more. We're going to see. It's still because the A1C numbers, it takes almost 4 months to have that transition. So I'm still a ways out here. And I know I got a journey to go. I know one of the things I've seen some pastors do is they preach and even write books about it. And then 3 years later, they're 40 pounds heavier than they were. I don't want to be one of those. I'm really trying to apply this. And here's my reason for doing it. That audio trigger of saying, this is simply too big for me, is something I'm saying out loud because this is what I'm telling myself whenever I see that. The moment of pleasure that food can offer is too small compared to the great destiny and purpose that is ahead for me. A preferred future that requires my body appearance and my blood chemistry and the makeup of my blood chemistry to be healthy. Let me tell you what. If you can only live to have pleasure in the now, you'll never see the beauty in the future. If you only live for instant gratification, you are never going to enter into the fullness that God has for you. But if you will recognize this is too small. Moses, the God-ordained deliverer of ancient Jews, could have rested in the safety he had of royal adoption into Pharaoh's house. But Moses willingly gave up the temporary pleasures for the sake of a higher calling. Hebrews 11 writes about it, and they would praise him for it in verse 25 and 26, when they would say, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because this is too small. Because there's something better ahead. Now, he didn't know it was going to take so long. And again, when he got out of the timetable, I think murdering that guy held off some stuff, right? And some of y'all have had some stuff, you know, it's like, man alive, what have I done? You know, God, I married this person, now how am I going to get out? Well, you married him, you're committed to him, now you're just going to have to pray him to the salvation. What can I say? God isn't done here. But look at this. He says, he regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because... Again, it doesn't say there weren't riches. How many of y'all know that Egypt at that time was the superpower of the world. It was the wealthiest nation on earth. The libraries in Egypt were filled with the latest knowledge and information. Whenever it mentions that Moses was trained in all the way of the Egyptians, he had access to the world's greatest educators and greatest books and documents. In fact, there are still some technological things regarding the pyramids and the Pharaoh's tombs and stuff that even modern-day scientists, we still aren't quite sure what technology they used to do some of the things they did. And we think we're smarter people. And yeah, we've got other ways of doing it. But some of the ways, it's like, we're not sure. There's people that speculate, well, they built the pyramids by building this huge, built it under sand and kept putting sand on top of it and then pulled the sand back. Maybe it was. As other people said, no, they did it with water. They did it with people pushing it. You know, in fact, I even heard one report not too long ago. They said, no, it was aliens that were picking it up. And I wasn't buying that one. Listen, it wasn't that Moses didn't have wealth. It wasn't that Moses couldn't have rested in the position. He was adopted into Pharaoh's house. He had already been rescued when he was pulled out of that river. But he recognized there's something bigger. This is too small for me. It doesn't mean that thing's easy. Why? It says the end of this. He was looking ahead. He was looking ahead. This is what I'm telling myself. God has called me to His service, so I won't compromise my God-ordained destiny by ignoring the challenge of my old way of thinking about food or by allowing any kind of relationship with gluttony in my life. My old habits that resulted in unhealthy blood sugar numbers, they are gone. And that fleeting, immediate pleasure of food indulgence is simply too small for me. Can you begin to say that over whatever it is that's tempting you, whether it's drugs or some other kind of addiction, that bitterness, that unforgiveness? Guess what? I'm committed to actually changing my habits. Now, I'm going to do my best to do that, and I'll talk more about that. In fact, let me give you just four kind of things I'm working with right now. Again, I'm not perfect, but maybe these are some things that could help you. Really, what I'm doing is I've worked with a number of men and seen them walk free from lust and pornography issues, and I said, you know what, if these worked for them, this just might work for me and my food. So let me put this in front of you. What I'm seeing, at least over the 8-week period I've been on this, seems to be working pretty well. All right, so, and with God's help, we're going to keep going on. But let me give you four things that I've got. Number one, that verbal declaration is vital for me to solidify my internal choice. Making that statement, I'm not screaming it out every time I see a donut sitting up in the lunchroom or the teacher's lounge. I'm not screaming it out, this is too small for me. I am not screaming it out. But whenever I see that donut box, I just say, this is too small for me. Because I know the day's coming, I can eat those. Eventually, I'm going to be able to eat what I want to. I just have to eat smaller quantities, and I have to do it 5 times over the day, not just a breakfast and a huge dinner after 8 o'clock at night. That's what I've done for 2 decades. I'm changing my lifestyle. Can you change your lifestyle after 50? Absolutely. God's at work. He's going to help me do this. But that verbal declaration, I don't know for you, maybe it's another comment, but maybe there's one you might want to jot down. This is too small for me. I've told it with guys before, you know, that whenever they're tempted with that pornography, they make that declaration. This is too small. Either that comment, or I'll say, you know, God's plan is better, or my wife will kill me. Whatever the thing is you've got to say, say it there. Number two, honesty and accountability aren't optional for me to continue on. Partnership is invaluable. Now, I'm thankful my wife is my closest partner. She's my best friend. But because we're part of a group with a way down, not the medical weight loss through Huntsville Hospital, weighing in is also an excellent polygraph. Number three, I'm establishing plans daily. If you have a little pre-thought and a little pre-planning, you probably aren't going to be very successful in anything you do. And I've figured out in my food choices, if I can pre-make a plan in my daily food choices, I'm more likely to choose wisely. So I'm doing my best to do that, trying to figure out how I can eat. So some of y'all saw me coming in eating my breakfast bar at 9:30 this morning because I'm trying to stay on that 2.5 to 3.5 hour regimen. So it's time for me to eat my breakfast or snack or whatever you call that. When you start having 5 meals a day, I'm not sure what you call those in-between times. We'll come up with them. Number four, maybe this is one that'll help you out. My boundaries, my rules must be set in advance. Now, this is something I've told so many kids over the years, but it applies to every one of us. Just as a healthy sexual purity boundary line isn't drawn in the back seat of an automobile while you're in the embrace of your teenage infatuation, healthy food decisions for me can't wait until I'm sitting in the quiet booth of Dinghow. I've got to make my boundary line. Guess what? I've got to do that. And this is, young people, you got to figure this out. You know, there's a lot of temptation that says to resist, but sexual sin is not one that says to resist. It's one that says you flee from, is what Paul says. Flee from youthful lust. You know, some guys are all like, I'm resisting as I'm clicking and I'm bringing up another image, but I'm resisting. Or I've got an accountability partner. We're going to sit and we're going to watch porn together so that we're not going to inappropriately touch ourselves by watching this porn. All you've done is given yourself an accountability partner to solidify when you go in private, you are going to be doing that very thing. And now both of you are pulling one another down. You're not inspiring and spurring one another on to love and good deeds. You're literally solidifying an addiction in your life. All but the marriage counselor told us that this porn was going to bless our marriage. I don't care what a counselor tells you. If it doesn't agree with God's word, it's not truth. If it's not truth, it will not bring the lasting results that God wants. Oh, but that's what everybody in the world thinks. Let me tell you, there are godly men and women who have written great books. I'm off subjects, but I think this is important. They've written books on sexual purity and on sexual technique and on what marriage is meant to be and the sexual intimacy that's a part of it. You don't have to get a magazine or some channel. You know, I was so disgusted earlier this week. I'm way off, but I'm coming back. I just saw the blurb that Cosmo had released on Snapchat. They called it Cosmo After Dark. I don't know if any of y'all noticed that. Literally targeted at young people. And it was going to be every Friday night after 6, they were clicking it on. It was a pornographic, boom, going to come out. There was such a backlash, though, because it kind of got out to the enough adults, that enough adults called in, that literally yesterday they pulled back on it. What about the ones that hadn't been pulled back on? Man alive. Let me tell you, if you're like, oh, God, I need to go there. Here we go. Kids, be wise. Set your boundaries, not when you're in that back seat and the windows are getting steamy and you've been there in a while. Oh, not the time to set your rule. You make it before you get in that situation. Any one of these four things, what I'm seeing is that there's a danger sign if I'm not practicing one of these. All right, I'm not done. Let's go back into this. There are new opportunities coming your way because God's concerned for what's going on in your life. Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified says, "Now to God, Him who is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work inside of us." He's able to do super abundantly more. Ephesians 3:20. Isn't that awesome? Everybody say super abundantly more. Wow. To your perspective, it may be impossible, but nothing is too difficult for God. You're thinking about how to maintain. God's thinking about multiplication. Isaiah was at a moment where God spoke to him and says, "You're my servant," Isaiah 49 and verse 3. "You're going to bring me glory." And he's like, "Yeah, I can do that. But this work seems so useless," Isaiah said. "I've spent my strength for nothing, but I'll leave it all in your hand. I'll trust you for my reward," he would say in verse 4. And then in verse 5, the Lord would speak again. "The one who formed you in your mother's womb," he says, "I've commissioned you to bring Israel back to me." But then look at what he says in verse 6. It's amazing. "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." I like how the contemporary English version puts it. It isn't enough for you to be merely my servant. You must do more than lead survivors from the tribes of Israel. Now, I'm like, man, what a great calling. I'm going to bring deliverance. I'm going to touch a nation. And God says, nope, that's not enough. I've placed you here as a light for other nations. Let me tell you, there's more. There's more for Valley Fellowship. There's more for you. Whatever you're going through is too small. God would speak over Isaiah, and he'd say, well, yes, you've called me to be your servant. And God says, nope, it's too small for you just to restore Israel. I'm going to make you a light. You aren't called just to touch just a few people. Your significance is supposed to be large. You're not called to a small life. This is too small. Everybody say, this is too small. Good enough is too small. Good enough is not your destiny. Somebody sitting out there saying, if I could just pay this bill, what's God saying? Say, this is too small. All right, every time I point at you, I want you to say, this is too small. Ready? Let's try that again. Awesome. Somebody sitting out there saying, if I could just pay my bills. God wants to bring you into overflow generosity. If I could just pay off my house. God wants you to run, not just pay off your house, but to pay off other people's houses as well. That's right. If I could just get a promotion. Yeah, but God wants you to run your own company and fund kingdom expansion. Oh, if my children could just get on the right track. Well, God wants to make them mighty in the kingdom of God. Oh, if I could just get back on my feet. God wants you to leave a mark on this generation. Oh, I'm so lonely at this point. I'll just take anybody. You may be willing to settle, but God isn't. God wants to bring something amazing into your life. Every single person in here ought to be saying amen. Let me tell you, I'm prophesying today that person he's got for you is righteous, talented, and good looking. Why? You're thinking you're lonely, you want to meet it. No, God's saying, I want a marriage that's going to be a bastion of kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. I want you to be a light to the people that are around you. You don't need to settle for some bum. You need to be ready for the person I've got for you. Somebody sitting out there saying, if I could just make it through this holiday weekend. You got it. And God wants to thrust you into a new level today. It's not just about making it through this service. We're at the end of the moment. But God didn't create you to reach one level and stop. Big enough is too small. Good enough, that is too small. Good enough is not your destiny. God hasn't called you to a little life or a miniature life. New opportunities are coming your way. Your greatest victories are in the future, not the past. The Lord who delights in you is your support, and He will do super abundantly more than you can dare ask. Infinitely beyond your greatest prayers, according to His power that's at work inside of us. Good enough is too small. Good enough is not your destiny. Here's the final word. God wants you to be blessed with such abundance that you can be a blessing to others. Isaiah said, isn't it enough? Nope, it's not enough. This is too small, God would say to Isaiah. You aren't just called to Israel. You're going to be a light to the nations. Oh, it would just be enough if I could just be healed in my back today. And God says, nope, it's not enough. I'm going to do that, but you're going to be a person who lays hands on other people and sees healing life come. I want you to begin to understand God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He wants to bless you because He wants to fund His kingdom efforts. He wants this mission field of the Tennessee Valley transformed. He wants to bless you because this church loves our neighbors and loves nations. We support missions all over the place. I'm so glad. I bless Brother Ivan today as he's up in Minnesota. And even the people in the great north need God's power. I'm praying he's moving by God's Spirit. And I know he's praying over us today. And just as he spoke over us, the
robe of many colors of Jacob is surrounding us. Father, I thank you. It may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by you. And whatever the small situation is in front of us, we remind ourselves it is nothing compared to the greatness of your power. We take time today to reflect on your greatness, to reflect on your goodness, to remember, God, that what you're doing is greater than what we see. Lord, for some of us it's been 40 years. For some of us it's been a long time, but God, you're not done. And Father, I thank you. You want to bless us so we can bless others. If you agree with that, I want you to raise your hands up and say, Lord, do it. I receive your word. Come on, speak that out to them. Say, Lord, do it. I receive your word. Now, Lord, I declare this is a burning bush moment. This is a burning bush moment. Well, there's a transition taking place, Lord God. Yes, God, we're learning to be content in this situation, so we'll not move ahead of your time. But Lord, I thank you. This is a time of deliverance. This is a time of transformation. This is a time of change, Lord God. Our dysfunctional thinking, our dysfunctional living is being broken off. It's being transformed as we renew our minds. And God, you're bringing that right person. Lord, even as I declare it, righteous, talented, and good-looking in Jesus' name. To that single person who's believing for that mate, God, I thank you. You're opening doors in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. You're opening opportunities. There are new opportunities. And God, I thank you. We'll not just look and think, we just got to get by. This is all it is. But God, this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, we would celebrate. We would celebrate and remember that you're the God who can do more than enough. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for connecting with us today. I hope you were encouraged by this recording. I'm Greg Simon, pastor of Valley Fellowship. More resources and more information about our church are available at valleyfellowship.com. We invite you to come and join us for worship. See for yourself how exciting church can be as we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ together.